That was Tesla by Yokio, formerly known as Devi. And joining us now, right here in KTCU, we have Hannah, Sam, and Jason. Yokio, thank you for coming in and joining us here on 88.7 The Choice.
Howdy. Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Appreciate it.
Excellent. I'm glad we finally got you guys in here to talk about this new EP. Sam and Hannah, you guys popped in, what, 4 months ago, maybe longer than that, when the new Devi shirts had come out.
Yeah.
And we swapped the KTCU shirt for the Devi shirt. Now, what am I supposed to do with this shirt?
Keep wearing it.
Yeah, yeah.
So when this blows up, I can be like, see?
Yeah, see, I was original. There before the whole thing went down.
I was an old school Devi fan.
Exactly.
Now we've gotten to the first EP. You released a few singles, I guess, this year, maybe started at the end of 18. Was that when?
We're actually coming up on, today we released It's Devi.
Okay. B.
Everybody, mm-hmm. Yeah, B.
1 year ago today?
1 year ago today. Wow. So since then we've done 4 singles and 2 music videos.
And about to release an EP.
Yeah. So now we're finally sitting on the full thing.
So you've been busy.
Oh, dear.
Very busy.
You've been busy.
It's unreal. I don't even know what year it is right now.
It's almost 2020.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah, okay, which is really weird that it's almost 2020. So this last year, I'm sure, has flown by. A lot of time in the studio. Tell me a little bit about the Devi era, as short as it was, and then why the name change and just what it's like putting together an EP, and for people that don't know, like, how long it actually takes to do all this.
Yeah, so Devi was my original solo name when I decided to go solo, which was before I met Sam. So when I met Sam...
Well, it was Devi De Luna.
Devi De Luna, yeah, a little bit longer.
And then I was like, let's do hip-hop, and you can be Lil Devi. But everybody hated it, so that didn't stick. So we dropped everything but Devi.
But Devi.
Yeah.
So you're just Devi for a while, and Sam was considered just my producer, pretty much. Uh-huh. But throughout writing together and composing music together, we just realized that he's a crucial part of the music, too, and that it should be a combined thing. So yeah. That's why we're Yokio now.
Gotcha.
I'm no longer man in the shadow.
Right.
That's right. You're no longer just Kolb on the side?
So I am continuing with Kolb. Kolb is kind of just my outlet to release whatever I do for funsies.
Okay.
Yeah, so I might, put out a track.
Because we
we're still spinning
Black Mamba.
It's a good song.
I've got one in the works with Hannah and Larry G right now. So.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, but we're still mulling it over.
So tell me a little bit about Yokio and how you switched over from Devi. For people that don't know, there's a great article on Fort Worth Weekly, so we'll give them a little pub too, because they beat me to the punch, even though I'm sure I set this up before they did.
Yeah, it's true.
But how did you go from Devi to Yokio? And a little bit you said now is it's more of a group project than a solo thing. But
well, we were having some trouble because initially we were like, we want to put out, quality pop products. So how do we do that efficiently? And the singles seemed like the thing to do. And I still think it was not a bad idea. But at the end of the day, when you look at somebody's,
Spotify
information,
account,
like their Spotify, and you see, oh, well, it's really cool, but there's only like 4 songs, can you really fill the 45 minutes or the hour or whatever?
So for booking, it was even harder.
That was one of the main things that was like, okay, we're going to do an EP or a record or something with, a bunch of jams. And while we were doing this, at some point we realized that somebody beat us to the punch.
There was another Devi.
Yeah, what? There's another Devi. She's got like 3 million
hits on one of their songs on Spotify.
Yeah, buddy.
Is it the same style of music too?
Yeah.
Are you kidding?
It's EDM. Kinda,
okay. Yeah, it's like EDM.
Yeah,
pop.
There weren't any vocals on it, but that,
gotcha. But still, the confusion like going to throw it off.
Right.
Because didn't Rex kind of run into a similar situation?
Did he?
He did, yeah. That's why he changed to Sage Mode Rex.
Which is
like
weird because, I mean, yeah, I've never, another Rex, but okay.
Yeah, I'm a big Naruto guy, so I like that.
Gotcha. I have not watched Naruto.
Well,
but I know what it is.
I just said it on public radio, so it's official.
It also went over everyone's head when he said it on the radio,
it's
too.
Okay.
No, you would,
just kidding.
You would be surprised, Jason. You would be surprised. So the Yokio name, where does that come out? There's the Devi thing, and now you're like, oh, how am I going to market if there's already somebody else? So where does Yokio come from?
So when we realized that we needed to find a new name, then we started just thinking about it constantly and coming up with ideas. And amidst that,
we had like words that were like keywords. We were trying to figure out something that would work with certain words.
Yeah, and every day we're working on this.
One of those was our dog's name.
Yes. Well, we were texting back and forth, and I accidentally did a typo and spelled Tokyo as Yokio.
So your dog's name is Tokyo?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, she's awesome. But yeah, so we misspelled Tokyo's name, and it looked pretty cool. So it became a contestant, and in the end, it became the one we decided to go with.
See, I was a little worried, because when I saw Yokio, I immediately thought Yoko Ono, and I thought there was trouble between the two of you.
No.
Like she's
no
taking
Yoko
over
Rift
and she's
here. No Yoko Rift. Yeah, no.
No, I like the name, and I think it's definitely, it's very original.
Thank
You're not
going to
have any issues with people going, oh, there's another Yokio.
Well, that was one of the things, is that there was no other Yokios.
So you did double check and make sure.
Yeah, did.
For sure. And Jason does a really good Yoko Ono impression.
Yeah. Well, all you have to really do is start playing tambourine in the back of the stage and then slowly work your way to the front of the stage and take the main mic and start screaming into it. That's
so,
the Yoko Ono.
So there, for people that are going to the show tomorrow night, you could give them a demonstration?
Yeah, I'm going to actually just do that instead.
That's the plan.
That's the part of the show. Oh, I just ruined the surprise. So when we listen to, I've listened to the whole EP, because thankfully you guys sent it to me early, so I got to preview some of these tracks. But what can fans of yours, what can they look forward to, like differences in sound or any added production elements compared to the four singles that have been released before?
It's pretty much night and day.
More upbeat, more dancey vibes going on, not as chill. Still some chill.
Yeah.
It's progressed, though. It's evolved.
It's more of a... It's closer to traditional pop than the old stuff, the like trip-hop vibes, where everything's kind of like spacey and... there's a lot of room for, you know, different noises to happen. It's not as thickly layered.
Yeah. You can definitely tell Sam's growth as a producer over since the initial, I was going to say silence those guys, but you can tell Sam's production value and like work ethic has definitely brought the overall sonics and sounds of these new tracks to a whole nother level. So it's pretty impressive. So
thank you.
Yes, I agree. I was listening to the album when you guys got here, and we were kind of talking about some of the tracks that are on there. What was your favorite? What is your favorite, each one of you? What's your favorite song from the new EP, and which one was the most fun to make?
Ooh. You want to go first, Sam?
No.
All right. I think my favorite song is Tesla.
Okay.
It's really fun to sing, and I get really into it when I perform it especially. But the most fun one to make was... probably Stacks.
Okay.
Yeah, the vocal layering on that one was really cool, and especially like when we finished it and kind of had the concluded product, it wasn't what I was thinking it was going to turn out like, so it was really awesome to hear that. Yeah, and it was fun. It was like, oh my gosh, I can't believe we just made this. I texted my mom after that and said, I wrote the best song of my life just now.
Alright.
So... What was it? The favorite to...
Favorite on the album and the favorite one for you to make.
Dude.
Because there's a lot of production value in this, especially for you, Sam.
Yeah, I think Energy was one of the more fun ones to make. Yeah, just because Omari's awesome and Hannah just destroyed that. It was awesome. and then my favorite track is probably... Oh, man. Sad. I think Sad's probably my favorite on the record. It's a weird one, and it kind of like jumps outside the realm for a second, but it hits nicely. I enjoy it. Yeah.
Nice. What about you, Jason?
As a drummer for these guys, I think Energy is the most fun. It's just a weirder beat that I haven't had to learn yet. So for me, that one's going to be fun to play live. Definitely. As far as, it's hard to pick because living with them, I've heard these songs a million times. So like
literally a million times.
Yeah.
Whether he wants to or not, right. It comes through the walls.
It's like 3 a.m. and he's jamming.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, it's got to get done, right?
It's got to get done.
And it is. So, I mean, Tesla's great. Honey's great. Seven Nation Army, that new version is really cool. I mean, that's a song that I heard like when I was a lot younger. So hearing a new version of it, it's kind of neat. Y'all got some good stuff.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So we also talked about some music videos, and I know the Senses music video to me was like a really awesome one, like visually.
Mm-hmm.
And you guys like to incorporate some really cool visuals into the live show. So like, how do you plan out what you're going to do for a live show to make it go the way you want it to?
We try to fit the vibe of whatever's going on, you know. So we've got the show tomorrow is kind of, you know, Halloween themed, so you can kind of look forward to some creepy visuals.
Some creepy visuals. Should people come in costume?
Definitely. Oh, yeah, yes, absolutely. Please.
There's a costume contest.
Oh,
yes.
All right.
Hey.
All right. There we go. Costume contest.
So dress to impress.
So tomorrow night. Scare. Yes. Tomorrow night, Ridgely Theater. You guys are in the big room too. Like this is the legit Ridgely Theater.
Yeah,
this is not the offense to anybody who's played in the Ridgely Room, but this is the big venue.
We've done the room. Yeah, no, we're super stoked about this.
So who else is on the bill that people can look forward to going and seeing? And styles of music, because this is a nice blend of a couple of different genres.
Yeah, we've got Son of Stan from Fort Worth.
Excellent.
Then we have Secrecies from Dallas, and we have three hip hop artists performing. David Allen Dope, Joe, and Daniel Flores.
Cool.
And Sage Mode Rex will also be there
and
hosting.
Nick McClanahan will be hosting the costume contest.
Yeah.
This sounds really fun. I'm very much looking forward to it.
We're excited.
So for ticket information, is there a website they can go to purchase the tickets?
Yeah,
obviously the door.
Just buy at the door. It's actually cheaper at the door.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yep.
Walk up and buy them at the door.
There you go.
Ridgely Theater.
Not
going to
mislead you. Yeah.
No, don't pay that service fee.
Exactly. Because you guys don't get the service fee anyway, so it doesn't matter.
We don't know where it goes.
We don't know. Yeah.
So you guys have all kind of been involved in music for a while now. So what were your influences, or how did you get started in music?
I got started in music really young. My whole family is a bunch of musicians, so I was always surrounded by like family jam sessions, and eventually I just wanted to participate, and I learned to play guitar and kind of started doing folk country music because that's kind of what my aunts and uncles were all doing. So then just growing up, I was finding new music and trying out other genres. But yeah, I've been doing it for, I guess I've been performing original music now for 10 years.
So you started when you were like 13.
13 was my first show, yeah.
And when did you start playing guitar?
I was 9.
Are you kidding me?
No.
Wow. All right. I got a 7-year-old daughter, so I guess it's time.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude. I give lessons.
Do you?
What up?
Well, I was actually looking at getting an electronic drum set because both my daughters are like,
yeah, keep it quiet.
This, so exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
So
highly recommend the electronic.
They can go crazy and it's not going to drive me insane.
Yeah.
What about you, Sam?
So music was. Like, I started playing guitar when I was 8, and music was kind of always a creative outlet for me, like, you know, very angsty. I was in a lot of really terrible metal bands, and kind of really into, like, punk rock and hardcore music. Got to lash out, so I lashed out for a while, and I ended up, you know, studying music in college and kind of, like, pursuing an audio engineering degree at some point. And after that, I was in a couple of bands, like some psych rock stuff, and just kind of found myself like producing more and more, even my, you know, own bands, until I was like, well, you know, either I can be in one band or I can produce a bunch of them.
Right.
So I get to work with all sorts of different
people. He's really good at it.
I really like it. It's a lot of fun.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
But. Jason.
I started playing in the Fossil Hill Middle School band, and I really wanted a drum set. My mom said in order for that to happen that I had to be first chair by the end of the year, so knocked that out on those bells and got that kid. And as soon as I got that kid, I just started playing in punk bands and screamo bands and emo bands. It was right in that early 2000s, late 90s little zone
when it really popped up right there.
Yeah. And then I started touring when I was 16, kind of just doing like Texas and like, you know, Louisiana and Oklahoma kind of shows for a long time. And then started touring internationally, or like, not internationally, but like around the States in a band called Gazelles that was kind of big in Denton there for a second. And then after that, started playing with Vega, and then, which was like a shoot off from this Italo band, kind of like electro band called Ghost Wrestler. And then currently, for the last 10 years, I've been playing with Neon Indian and still touring with them. I just got off a little L.A. run with them. So I've just been playing drums and touring for a good part of my life. So it's fun to be sitting behind the kit for these guys now.
Nice. So what about some touring plans in the future for you guys?
Yeah.
Working on it?
Yes, working on it currently. We're hoping to do a little Texas stint sometime in December. Awesome. And then maybe a couple weeks in the spring.
Tomorrow is the day that everybody goes to Ridgely. They go see and they go, hey, we need to book her for more shows around the state.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Right?
I won't complain.
How has social media been for you guys, like, to in this new era of like being able to promote yourself? Like, is
yeah,
it seems like it, I'm not a musician, so I don't know. Like, I work with students on like how to kind of establish their own brand. Like,
okay.
They have to kind of establish themselves if they're going to go into journalism or sports or anything like that. They kind of have to do something that's going to separate them from the rest. Do you find yourself having to do the same thing?
Yeah, dude.
Yeah. My day job is social media management. So
oh, nice.
I see it all the time.
You need to come in here and talk to students and
yeah,
myself.
Yeah, like, I would love to. It's super beneficial. I mean, your whole circle of friends and just the amount of people that you're able to reach is greatly expanded with social media. Especially with the option of like boosting posts and running ads, it's so easy for just normal people like us now to actually run some sort of ad out there in the ether for people to see. And yeah, just like being close with fans and being able to, so that fans can actually see like what you're doing and what you're thinking about. And I feel like there's a closer relationship than maybe before social media became such a big popular thing.
Sort of. Yeah. It's also terrible, and we, load just as much as everybody else. Yeah.
Well, that goes to the next question, is where can everybody find you on social media so they can stalk you or harass you?
Right now, I switched over my account to Yokio Babe, and we have another account that I'm going to start working on tomorrow.
Yeah.
I've been kind of waiting for this EP release actually to happen before I actually start on the ball with that, but that's a Yokio Official.
Okay.
Yeah.
So Yokio Babe for now.
Yeah, you can follow. I mean, it's open.
Yeah, feel free to follow it.
There we go. Yokio Official is also
just acceptable. Yokio Babe is more active at the moment.
Yeah.
What about Sam and Jason? You guys got social media you want to put out there or no? It's okay if you don't.
Jason?
Mine is Just a Drummy on
that's
Instagram.
That's an awesome name.
It's really good.
That's the only one. I don't do the Facebook anymore these days. And that's
the politics and everything, or just...
I've had multiple people fake my account, and then when I tried to get it to be deleted, it took like 4 years, and then they were like, yeah, we can't do it. And I was like, all right. So I kind of just lost faith in the whole...
Yeah, that makes sense.
It was kind of a bummer at that point, because all my friends were adding these people who were using my name but weren't really me, so I was like, this is pointless. So, yeah, I just do the Instagram. I feel like that's got everything kind of perfectly.
Instagram's my favorite.
It's on my phone, and it's tiny, and it's easy to get into. It's fine.
I found it's kind of a generational gap. Like, yeah. Facebook now is more like 40 and above.
It's just political ads, man.
I know. I'm struggling internally with the whole, like, do I get rid of it? But then, like, all of my, you know, aunts, uncles,
that's
grandparents.
That's what it is now.
They don't text me.
Like, it's kind of how you share family
news.
Yeah,
I'm going to lose everything with them because I can't teach. I'm not going to teach them all Instagram for photos and stuff like that. Yeah.
Right.
And then Twitter, that's basically just news and yelling at people, right?
Yeah, that's my understanding. I don't tweet either. So my social media, I believe, is just my name, Samuel Culp, C-U-L-P. But I think you can search me through K-U-L-B as well.
Okay.
KULB is like a misspelling, or my name is actually a misspelling of KULB.
From when like the family
like
came
Ellis
over,
Island.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Mine's the same way.
Oh, really?
Yeah, my last name's Craig, C-R-A-I-G, but it was originally like C-R-A-G, like a crag, which actually means the edge of a cliff in Scotland.
Oh, cool.
Which is, that's where my family's from, so...
Cool.
You know,
yeah.
You know, all the people that were already here, they were like, I don't know how to spell
whatever
that.
Whatever your name is.
I mean, my first name spelled the original way, but now it's all jammed up.
Yeah.
I'm G-E-O-F-F.
Yeah.
Which is the original way.
Joffrey.
Joffrey. Yes. Yeah. And then they were like, Jeffrey, J-E-F-F. That's what happened. So
we did have a conversation in the car before we got here about how we all learned how to pronounce G-E-O-F-F for the first time instead of saying Geoff or something weird like that.
Jeff Rowley.
I keep saying
Geoff. Yeah, we were both like Jeff Rowley.
Yeah.
Skateboarding.
We had the shoes and the boards. The proper. And the
which I appreciate him so much for helping me. Yeah. I actually have a rally deck at my house because it says G-E-O-F-F on the bottom of it.
Yeah.
I can't skate for crap, but I have the deck and it's got some scuff marks from where I tried. But
nice.
That's awesome.
I used
He's
to just
awesome.
Hang it up in my office and people would be like, who is that? And I'm like, that's me, man. I used to be a pro skateboarder.
Perfect.
Yeah.
And they're like, what? And I'm like, I am joking with you, but y'all are gullible. Hey, look, guys, I appreciate you so much for coming in here. Like,
this is
awesome.
Thanks for having us out.
Yeah, really looking forward to the new show. We've got some tracks that will be added into the regular rotation as well as featured on the local lunch. So everybody out there listening, stay tuned for that. We've also got another track coming up right after the end of this interview. We'll be playing what is my favorite track off the album, Honey. That's coming up next. Hannah, Sam, Jason, thank you so much for coming in here and joining us. We really appreciate it. All the best. Hopefully you don't get too big and forget about the little people back home.
Never, dude.
Never.
We love you. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you.
Everyone have a wonderful day. Thank you.
That's right. All right. We're going to hit you up with a brand new track from Yokio. You could see them tomorrow night at the Ridgely Theater. Buy your tickets at the door. This is Honey by Yokio. You're listening to 88.7 The Choice.